in our victory season and we're walking it out. But sometimes in the walk, just when you've seen God do the impossible, just when you've seen him multiply the loaves and the fish, just when you've seen him take care of the needs of the masses, he turns and tells you to get in the ship. You thought that you were going to have time to rejoice and eat a little extra yourself, but he said, I need you to get in the boat and go to the other side. Go ahead of me. Go on a little ship ride. Hallelujah. How many are getting ready to go on a little ship ride? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got my clicker and I'm going to use it. Glory to God. Say, when the Lord gives you some tools, it's all right to go ahead and use them. This morning, I'm going to be bringing to you the message the Lord spoke into my spirit. If you would ask me earlier in the week, have you got the message for the hour? There was something in the spirit that was withholding, but upon yesterday, sometimes the Lord does that to you. On yesterday, a life experience gave me the other piece of the message for today. How many know sometimes the Lord, you're looking for a word from God, and when all along he's trying to teach you through a life experience, that you'll just see God through that life experience. You'll be able to see the victory right there in front of you all along the way. Hallelujah. So we're navigating the waves of life. Navigating the waves of life. For you see, life's winds and waves come to everybody. Turn to somebody special, not exempt. They come to everybody. And you're not special because you're going through the wind and the waves. You're special because you're a child of the King. Hallelujah. How you navigate those waves is highly important. And Jesus has the answer to all the waves. Hallelujah. How many are glad Jesus has the answer to all the waves? Glory to God. Those that are watching and those here in the house, we're going to be going to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14. We're going to read select scriptures as you stand to your feet. I'm going to be reading here from the MEV, and we can read in concert. It'll be verses 20 through 27 and verse 32. And as we thank the Lord for the word of God that he has given to our lives, we do not think that it is ordinary. We know that it is special from the Lord. Let us read in concert because we love the word of God. It says, then Jesus commanded his disciples to get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. He, Jesus, went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he, Jesus, was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Said, Jesus is on the mountain, but my boat is in the middle of the sea. It kind of looks a little bit like this is the story, and then the Lord comes, and we're going to read this part about him coming. But I wanted to get a good picture of 12 disciples in a boat rowing hard on the waves. Hallelujah. Let's continue reading. And said, the boat tossed by the waves, for the wind was turbulent. During the fourth watch, which is 3 a.m. to dawn of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out in what? Fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then verse 32 says, and when they go into the boat, the wind ceased. In Mark's gospel, in those two verses, 48 through 50, said Jesus saw them straining at rowing for the wind against them. About the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. They saw and cried out and were troubled. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word and this example of real life that happened to the disciples, that the Lord could show something very powerful. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Show us something in our life now that is very powerful upon this word. As we see that he commands them to get into the ship And they have to exert their knowledge, their know-how, to come into obedience with what he commanded. But they ran into some winds that were beyond even their ability to get very far. They were giving it all they got and going nowhere. How many sometimes in past instances felt like you were giving it all you got and you weren't going anywhere? I'm rowing, but I'm not going. I'm trying to do what the Lord said, but I'm not getting anywhere. See, because this particular incident was on purpose, the Lord knew that there was a storm coming. He went up to pray after he sent the crowds away so that he could be before the Lord God Almighty himself. But I want you to notice that there was something he wanted his disciples to understand, that the same Jesus that could multiply them, feed the hungry, is the same Jesus that could do the supernatural when they had no power to go any further. Some people, when they get to the go no further point, get frustrated. All of a sudden they say, Lord, why? Why are we in this predicament? And how can we go? And some of them just ignore even calling out in prayer. They just simply try to keep doing what they've been doing, going nowhere. And Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing to get the same result, expecting a different result, is the very definition of insanity. There had to be a difference, but they couldn't see it. The Lord was going to show them something different. They should have had a clue, because the Lord always did the supernatural. His glory, he had caused the dead to rise, the blind eye to open, even the deaf ear to pop open. They'd seen the leper get healed miraculously right in front of them. They'd seen the lame be laid down before him and get up and walk at his command. And so now they're without the Lord and he's up there praying. They believe that God can do it, but he cannot do it when he's not in the boat. When we feel like, where are you, God? You're not here. So we'll do everything that the Lord told us to do while we're here. We're to go ahead of him. But see, go ahead means that he's going to go ahead and catch up. In this story, I want you to see something about the supernatural that he wanted them to get. Is that the same storm that caused them to go nowhere with a ship, with oars, with all 12 men doing everything they could, Jesus caught up with them just walking on the top. Wind still blowing, Jesus' hair just a blowing, his beard just a blowing and going. There was still wind and waves, and he just going right on top of each wave. Boom, boom. And he caught up with them in the power of the glory of his supernatural power. Hallelujah. He was trying to show them something they had never experienced before. But just like us, when God's trying to show us something, we're busy in the fight, we're busy getting exhausted, we're busy doing everything we need to do, that sometimes we forget to look up. He's doing something different. We've heard the word, behold, I do a new thing. That which I'm doing is not going to clock, it's not going to register with your past experiences. That means even for me, that I have seen the dead raised, I have seen blind eyes open, I've seen the lame get up and walk. I have seen God do strange and wonderful miracles. I have seen tornado clouds obey the command of God. I have seen the storm clouds have to follow and rain come to a drought. I have seen God do much things through other ministers, through my own ministry, through the ministry of my parents and my wife's parents, and even through a prophetess and all different other ministries that come through this house. But when the Lord says, I'm going to do a new thing, how do I quantify? How do I categorize? How do I put a file name on the new thing? Because what he's going to do is going to show up something in me, because everyone has the fear of the unknown. I got this, Lord. When you've done it before, he'll do it again. But what if I've never experienced him do it before? I don't even have a testimony of him doing it before. I have a hard time finding how he's going to do it before. Maybe I believe that Jesus will do it, but I don't know how he's going to do things, and I'm just about tired. I don't even have the strength to fish. I'm in the middle of my own fishing grounds. in a storm. I'm in a place I've been raised up. I have been here for all my life. And the Lord says, go across. And it's in the middle of my darkest hour of the night, and I can't get there. But then the Lord shows me a new way, and here's what the disciples said, because they tried to quantify it. They tried to put a little label on what they were experiencing, and here's what they did. They put this label. Ah! They cried out in fear. They cried out in fear. And some are going to experience the supernatural, and they're going to cry out in fear because they don't have any other testimony or witness or mentor or anyone that have quantified. They've not been reading the Bible to show there are strange miracles that can come forth. They do not understand his signs, his wonders, his miracles. The many generals have already gone home that have had that. But I believe there's still a remnant that have a legacy heritage, that have seen God do something and are trying to help people build faith. And I understand there's a generation of new millennials and younger coming up that would like to see God do the supernatural. They're tired of Hollywood and Hollywood. They're tired of the mess up, and they're tired of the winds of depression and the waves of suicide. They're tired of the things that they've been trying to war against their mind, against their life, and they need answers in this day and hour. And Jesus has the answers, but the disciples did not. What do you do when even his closest ministry don't know what to do? For they themselves are in the storm also. We must not forget that every one of us are human. Whether we believe Jesus or don't believe Jesus, we're human. Matter of fact, everyone that don't have Jesus needs Jesus. But sometimes they look at us and we're in a storm fighting for our life and we're going, where's Jesus? And our spectators are going, yeah, where's your Jesus? You're in the middle of the darkest hour, and your skeptics have their binoculars on you. They've got their night vision, and they're looking at you in your trouble. And they're going, yeah, where's your Jesus? Where's your Jesus? The disciples did not know that the Lord would select the way he would come. In the glory, God selects the way that he comes. You must be careful not to go by the volume of the voice of the preacher. Because if you only think the anointing and the glory is through a whisper or a holler, or the inflection points of some joke, you will miss God, because it's all about your intensity of on the inside of you to hear from God. Upon today, if you do not let your mind go astray and you keep focused on the things of God, you're going to learn something today that's going to shift you further in your path with God. Hallelujah. They cried out in fear, for the Lord was trying to teach them that their flesh put forth fear. The cry should have been in faith, but instead it was in fear. Their cry should have been in praise, but it was in fear. See, sometimes the Lord shows us the supernatural to tell us how much fear we still need to get out of us. Because we are a certain percentage faith and a certain percentage fear. I love God with all my mind, heart, body, soul, and strength, and I've got my testimony. But what do you do when he does something that's totally unexplainable and totally you ain't ready for? What do you do when God shows up doing something he wants to do in a way you never thought he would do, in a way that doesn't even quantify his church? It doesn't even quantify as what your relationship is. All of a sudden, God just shifts the thing and does something you're not even expecting. Be careful, be careful, be careful, my saints. Saints of God, not to label it as just being, oh, it's a ghost and we're in trouble. It's something negative. Be careful not to label what God has said that he's doing right now as a negative. But embrace it. As Peter said, if that be you, Lord, after the Lord said, be of good cheer, it is me, it is I, don't be afraid. That's where he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come on the water. And we've heard that preached many times, and I'm not going to preach about Peter getting on the water too, because there's a lesson in that. But I want to talk to you about this particular storm and waves. Because you see, in life, Jesus will say, tribulations will come. How many knows that tribulations will come? And he says, why? Because of the word of God. Because the word of God is in your life, certain tribulations are going to come. You're not going to face the same things you faced when you were in sin. When sin had a hold of you, you were a puppet to the puppet master, and you just simply did and thought and went with your thoughts. But when you come to Christ, you are broken from the bondages of sin, and now you can make decisions for yourself. And you can decide how to do good and not evil. You can decide to obey the Lord. And because the word of God, how many have had a word of God spoken to your life, a prophetic word put in your life, and see, then the enemy tries to target that word. It doesn't matter who that it's upon. It matters that the word is upon somebody. And when the word comes upon you, I've got to stop that word. And the only way to stop that word is to stop your mind from believing in the word. Because you see, the enemy cannot stop the word of God unless the one it's on disagrees with it. There is no power in the earth to stop the word of God that is upon your life unless you disagree with it. Well, I've done everything I know how to do and it ain't showed up. Don't disagree with the word of God. Remember, you must believe God forever and a day. Never believe God through because of pain, then disbelieve him. Or because of delay, then disbelieve him. Or because of time. Don't put your faith in time, delay, or pain. Put your faith in God. Because when you put your faith in God forever and a day, there is only one outcome. Your critics will say, well, I don't see it yet. Oh, but you will see it. Because I am going to get there. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I'm not trying to find out how. I'm just waiting for his next instruction. And the Lord said that don't be afraid, for Jesus has overcome it all. So you focus your faith on Jesus, whether in the calm, still waters or in the tempest of the storms. I mean, it's easy to say thank you, Lord, when everything's calm. But when you're in your victory season, it means you have to have victory. And that you're carrying victory. And that means you're going to notch up victories. That means if there is no opponent, there is no more victories. You can carry victory and the enemy run from you everywhere and wait for your victory season to be up, thinking that you will let your victory down because you don't need it anymore. And so you let up on your prayer life, you let up on your pray life, your reading life, your praise life, your worship life, because everything got easy. See, if we go by whether it's easy or hard, that's not faith. That's comfort zone, baby. When you got faith, it doesn't matter whether it's easy or hard. I've got a word from my king, and I will give my king what he wants. And if I can't get there, I know he's got something supernatural to show up along the way. Because I got my faith in Christ. I got my faith in God. I got my faith in his word. I got my faith. Hallelujah. I've got faith from God. He's got faith in me. He put treasure in me, in this earthen vessel, and I'm going to praise him with my faith ahead of time. I'm going to believe him ahead of time, because his credit, his word is always good right here. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, I'm going to navigate the waves of life. Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to navigate them. So the tongue you listen to and rehearse is the control rudder of your boat. Adam and Eve got in trouble because they listened to the wrong voice and began to repeat the wrong things and use the wrong things, and the rudder changed their course. In James chapter 3, verse 4, he says, and this is James, the half-brother of Jesus, he says, and observance, though they are so great and driven by fierce winds, they use the fierce winds to give them driving power. Yet they are directed. Notice, winds drive, but something else directs. They are directed by a very small rudder. And wherever the captain pleases, that's where it goes. Even so, the is your rudder. When you go negative, you start heading negative. When you go positive, you start heading positive. Get up in the morning and say, bless you, Jesus. We're going to have a great day. What do you want? You're going to go positive. Get up in the morning. I had such a bad hair day, and I burnt the toast, and I stubbed my toe, and I tripped, and I was clumsy. Oh, it's going to be a horrible day. Prophesy it. You get it. Because there's power in your tongue. And here's another thing. If you don't use your tongue, somebody else will use theirs to direct your life. There's sometimes the conversation needs you to change the rudder. Because if they can just steer your boat and you're hooked to their rudder and you're just going along with them, sometimes you need to change the course of the thing. So I got more power than the devil. I got the authority of the word of God in my mouth. If you were here last week, you know Prophetess talked about the authority. There is authority in you that are walking in Christ. There's authority. Hallelujah. Some people want to appease everybody else. I just don't want no conflict. Don't want no trouble. Because every time they get mad. Well, if they get mad, stay calm. Stay direct. And just tell them I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to pray God get in your dreams. God get in everything else when I'm not around. Because you had answered to him. The tongue is the authority of the mouth. It's what you speak, because our words, our tongue, must be matching what God says for our lives. Anything else will cause you turbulence of chaos, fear, and harm. Only aligning your tongue can he direct our paths. Only aligning your tongue with the Lord can he direct our paths. Partner with what God says. Believe it and speak it. How? Often. When? Daily. What word? His word. And somebody say his word only. His word only. Because then I'm going to talk to you just a moment about this scripture right here. Ephesians 4, 13 through 14 says, until we all come in the unity of the faith, for God has given the fivefold ministry to help build up and give and equip the saints of God to do the work of the ministry. How often, how long? Until we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge. Everybody say the knowledge. I got to be knowing the Son of God as a complete man. Where does that measure of stature come? It comes in us. Let's look at it. Until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a complete man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The body of Christ is going to be completed and it's going to be matured. Amen? So that we may no longer be children. This is talking about mature level, because we're always going to be the children of God. How many knows we're talking about maturity here? So no longer be children, that's immature, tossed here and there by waves and carried about with the trickery of men, by the craftiness with deceitful scheming. When people are immature is when they're tossed around. When I first started to learn how to drive a boat, there was a whole lot of things scared me. Because especially with a rudder in reverse. Because the rudder's in the back. And when you're trying to back up, you got the motor and the rudder in the same spot, and you're trying to, and it seems like it goes opposite. So I had to think in my mind, I'm driving a forklift. Because the way that I drove the forklift is the way the boat is going to go. That when I'm in reverse, it goes a certain direction. And so there were things that scared me, and I was very nervous about some things. And my wife had to pray for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I was out in the open waters, I was fine because I could keep distance from everybody and I knew how to navigate with what I had. I've had my family on pontoons and we've had the small ski boats and I've done canoes and I've done all this. So I've had plenty of time on the water. I've not done any big yachts or big giant things. But yesterday, my wife, bless her heart, she reserved for me a little larger ski boat than I'd ever driven. With a little bit more horsepower than I'd ever had at my command. And since I haven't driven in 3 years and I'm in my new decade, hallelujah, I was trusting God that he'd done something new in my life. Hallelujah. But I wasn't afraid. I began to put to use things I know, other things that were a little bit backward came to mind. We got on out of the slip of the dock really good. We went through the no-wake area. That's where you don't turn on your power too soon, because you will destroy everything on the shore. And you ease on out to where it is waters where you can exert your power. And did you notice, they will command you by law, keep the power down in the shallow area. People that are shallow can't handle the power. People that are shallow can't handle the power. But can I preface this another direction also? People with the power need to know how to handle themselves in peace in the shallow. You're not trying to cause a tsunami. You're not trying to scare people away from Christ. There'll be a place for the power to be used. And so they had these buoys that marked where we should go. And they said, after that, you can drive as fast as you want to. Just stay so far away. Yeah, it's wide open. There's no speed limits, just distance limits. And since boats are a little bit further social distancing than what we've had here on land, I knew that I just had to have a certain distance, right? And so we started to go, and I started to test some of the things that were there. And we had a day that there was a little bit of wind, and there was some waves. And I noticed that it took me a little bit of time to get out of the shallow area. And yet it said that the depth finder said that I was at 69 feet and then 70 feet, 71 feet. And I said, this is still shallow. It had to be 75 feet past the buoys. I said, I can't cause a 75-foot thing with this, but the waves of the top, because a number of boats, when you have power boats going through, you cause all sorts of displacement, and that displacement goes for a while till it ripples out. And so when you go, say, my power in my vessel displaces waves, displaces the water. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to go somewhere. So the winds of life turn, now I'm going to go back to what we go through just for a moment, in and out of this illustration. The winds of life are caused by words, whether spoken inwardly or outwardly. That's why you got to know what your words are inwardly or outwardly, by us or by others. See, there's truth or opinions. There's positive or negative. There's for, there's against. Sometimes it gets windy in our lives. It is wind that stirs the waves of life, that which is not always favorable to accomplishing what Jesus has commanded you to do. It's like the boat on the lake, and we had this in a little test towards the end. We were getting close to where we needed to go to come back into port. And I noticed that my wife and my daughter were getting very hot. And I looked and I went, wow, there's no wind at all. So I said, do you need a little breeze? Yes, please. So I turned the boat around, and instantly there was wind. I said, I'm going to try that again. So I turned back around the way we're going. No wind. Just the heat of the sun. So I tried something else. I said, I'm going to steer to this side. So I turned sideways, wind. Turned back around sideways, wind. There was wind in three directions, but no wind in the other direction. Ask me why. Because I was matching the wind. And when you negate in the matching, there is no wind. I was using the wind in the same speed as my vessel, so it went down to zero. So that if it was 10 mile an hour wind and I'm going 10 mile an hour with the wind, there is no wind. It feels calm as if there is no wind. Soon as I turned, crossed the wind, it was there. Turned the other way, crossed the wind, it was there. Turned and confronted the wind, it was there. Went in agreement with the wind, it wasn't there. You have to learn what wind is in your life. When it's people that are contrary to the Lord, do not go with their wind. Oh, yeah. See, you try to go with God's word and they get windy. And you try to go this way with God's word and they get windy. And you turn and they get windy. And if they say, oh, we'll be calm if you just do it my way. We'll be aggressive if you don't. But see, I wanted the wind, because I wanted to cool my family and me off. I looked at the wind as a benefit, because I'm an eagle from Eagle Heights Worship Center. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I looked at no wind as being the place of too much heat. After all, I was already burned and covered from head to toe with stuff trying to keep from burning because I already parts of me looked like a beet. I need some more of my brothers and sisters to lay hands on me because I need a deposit. I need to change tones that are more brown than red. I need a little skin pigment, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Except for my arms. I've been blessed with farmer arms. My arms tan and everywhere else, including my scalp, my feet, everything, burn. I don't know what it is. Maybe the Lord dipped me and my arm up to here in my arms in the good stuff. I don't know. Hallelujah. I have to speak to the rest of my body. You're too white. Get some color. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so I learned something about the wind. See, how we respond to the wind will also tell something about our maturity level. Because if all you do is panic every time there's a breeze, you don't see the benefits of what really is being set up for you. See, the immature get tossed around, but the mature are not deterred and they're not distracted. If there is, say this with me, if there is no opposition, then your opponent's still hiding. If there is no opposition, your opponent's still hiding. Now remember that the Lord told the disciples, get in the boat. It was not their own flesh. The Lord told them to get on the sea and go ahead of him and go over the other side. It was not their own wants. It was not their flesh. It was the command of the Lord. It was the command of the Master. So anything that comes from that point on is a test of supernatural, the things of God. When God, see, if you thought it, it might be a flesh thing if you were in your flesh. But when the Lord directs you and the Lord commands you and you're on the thing, you're on the path of the Lord and the journey of the Lord, and he says, take a ship ride, take a little boat ride. You know you need to take it in stride because whatever happens is a test to teach you something. One, the Lord wants to expose your enemy. The opponent sometimes needs to be exposed and disclosed, and they do so when God starts setting you up for the supernatural. God wants to draw them out of hiding. See, he knows their heart. He knows their plotting. He knows their secret talk when you're not in the room. He knows that they're talking about his children. But see, it wasn't your word that's on you. It's his word that's on you. And so when they're saying it, he says they're really talking about me on my children. So you got to trust God that when the opposition comes, that God is drawing them out of hiding. They used to smile and they used to think that they were your best friend, but they really were taking secret counsel and talking behind your back. See, the Lord wants to draw out really who is for you and who's against you. And when it's just ordinary, that don't happen. But when God goes extraordinary and puts the shift on the adversary, it draws the opponent out. See, in our season of victory, God's not looking for a giant to come and start the battle. He is looking for his word to initiate the battle. Thank you for three. Praise the Lord. God got Job in trouble. God's going to get us in trouble. Because it's actually his trouble. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get all personal with it. God's got this. Just keep going to the word of God. See, so many times, any type of opposition, any type of confrontation, I've seen this amongst Holy Ghost believers, I've had to face it to myself, that all of a sudden it starts to work our mind over time as to what in the world's going on. And simply, why should we ask the world what's going on? We should say, Lord, I don't understand this. Maybe I don't need to understand this, but all I need is your presence. See, the problem with their understanding was they knew him in the boat to calm the sea, but they didn't know him outside the boat to walk on the sea. God was trying to show them a different way to know him. The unknown is simply a different way to know God. You don't need a healer till you're sick. Or someone in your family is sick. You don't need a savior unless you have sin. You don't need a miracle unless you need a miracle. You don't need a miracle worker till you need a miracle. And so people sometimes don't understand. They hear somebody's testimony. Oh, glory to God. God, thank you, Jesus. And then they go through the same storm as they heard the testimony and forget the testimony because they believe God loves them more than they love. That God will do it for the preacher, but he won't do it for me. He'll do it for that saint over there, but he won't do it for me. See, that has got to get out. There's got to be no guilt and no blame at the very core of your soul. You've got to say, I am a child of the King. And my victory season, no matter who blows, no matter what waves come, hallelujah, if God's got to do the supernatural, we're going to get to where he said we're going. Somebody shout yes. Hallelujah. So God draws them out to ambush them for trying to ambush you. God wants to deal with his opposition in these five ways. And I don't have them up on the screen. He causes them to have to deal with him. I'm going to say that again. He causes them to have to deal with him. Because when they show up against his supernatural that's in your life, in the enactment of the manifestation of the word, see, even though they couldn't feel it, even though they couldn't sense it, the second, and said in Mark, that the Lord saw them from the mountain. The second, the Lord saw them from the mountain. The very answer was on the way. It was over. The first part of the test was to test their tenacity to obey God, their persistence to obey God, their patience to obey God, their power to obey God. But now it had got to the place where Jesus sees them. But the thing is, they don't think he sees them. They don't know that he sees them. And he is walking on the sea right on target. He didn't take a different path. He's right on target. He sees what you're going through in the darkest time. The question is, do you see him coming? Do you know that he sees you? And you can say, Lord, I see you coming. Lord, I thank you that your presence is soon going to be here. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it because we're going to finish what you said we should finish. Number two, when the Lord does this, he wants to invoke his supernatural to bring himself glory. We get to go all the way in the presence of God, but he gets to choose what he gets the glory for. Number three, shout three. He causes your opponents to know that you are really serving the real God. How many of you got some skeptics? How many got a few people that are watching your life, they just don't believe you're a Christian all the way yet? You tell them testimonies, oh, that was circumstantial, until you've got enough, boom, 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 that they go, wait a minute, I need what you got. And you've been telling me the love of Christ, and you've been giving me the things of God, you've been telling me that the Lord is good, and now I just need to say yes to him. Because the Lord knows how to take your opponents and get them saved. Paul, when he was Saul, was the worst opponent to the church. But then he had his called out moment with the Lord that changed his life forever. Turn to somebody and say, God's about ready to call your opponents out and turn them in God's favor. Number four, he wants to increase your strength and faith. Because if you go through the same thing over again, it gets easier and easier and you get complacent. When I do some bodybuilding, which is kind of rare, but when I do some bodybuilding and I get my, there's a certain place that you've done it so many times, it gets easier to your body. And then they tell you, you got to increase the weight. You got to increase the resistance. And prophetess tells us if there is no resistance. Oh, I'm telling you, if there is no resistance, what's the rest of it? Ah, I put him on the spot. Praise the Lord. There you go. Persistence breaks down resistance. All right, you got it. I had half of it. Bad apostle. I'll just put a new one. Where there is no resistance, there's no new strength found. And God wants you stronger and stronger in Him. Number five, what happens when God does this and opposition shows up and He's wanting to do something supernatural? He wants to show you and your opponent that you are possessing what you've been confessing. Hallelujah. He wants us to use the power. Use the power that God has given us to get Christ near and dear. The thing that the disciples did not do until He actually showed up and said, "It's me, don't be afraid," was actually to invite a close encounter. He didn't just come get in the boat. The Bible said He would have passed them by because He needed the law of recognition. He needed to tell them also, don't be afraid. I know this is brand new to you. Do not label it a negative spirit or a demon or a ghost. It is me. Be of good cheer. It is me. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. And so that Peter could say, I need to be closer to you. Notice Peter did not say, Lord, would you come get in the boat? We're having trouble over here. Peter said, we got so much trouble in the boat. Lord, looks like you're doing a great job. Can I come over there? That's the whole key. The whole key is to leave our own strength and say, Lord, I want to be what you're doing. I want to be where you're doing. But I need your command to do it. Would you command me to come? Would you command me to come closer? Would you command me to come into your presence? Would you command me to come in the supernatural? Would you command me to walk in the miracle? Would you command me to experience it with you? Would you command me to come where you're at? And that's what he's saying today. Because, see, if we have already seen the miracles in this last 2 years of what God has done, and we've already got many things, I am asking by the power of the Spirit, and I believe He's asking me and asking you, are you asking the Lord to command us to come into something we have never known before? Come into your presence. Come into your presence. There's new things, new things. See, when you're flowing in the supernatural by faith and you get into His glory, the wind has to obey His presence with you. Said when they walked, Peter and Jesus walked back to the boat, the wind immediately ceased. Because when Peter was walking on the water with Jesus, not going out to Jesus, but when he got to Jesus, whether he started to sink a little bit, the Lord had to get in. While they were walking back to the boat, in that victory, all the mouths of the wind zipped their lip. The skeptics stop talking. While you're trying to get to Jesus, they're still jawing. But as soon as you're in the total victory with Jesus, you're now walking on the other side of the prophetic manifestation. And when you're walking on the other side, they don't want to say nothing because you got a fresh testimony of the glory of God. But I want to tell you, if you've ever had a promise that has come to pass, you need, no matter what you got to face, to learn that I'm going to live on the other side of the promise. I'm going to shout before the walls come down. I'm going to get in His presence before it all shows up. I'm walking with the King. It's my victory season, and I'm walking it out, not by myself. I'm walking it out with the King. I'm walking it out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm walking it out with the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, who was dead and raised again, who ascended up and is coming back again. I'm walking with the Savior. I'm walking with the miracle worker. I'm walking with the supernatural Lord. I'm walking with the risen King. I'm walking with Him. Yes, I'm walking. You look like you're walking by yourself. No, I'm walking with Him. If you're walking with the Word, you're walking with the Word. Thank you, Pastor Jason. For a minute, if you're walking with the Word, this is what he preached, then you're walking with the Word. And the Word is God, and the Word was God. If you're walking with His prophetic Word, and you're walking with His spoken Word, if you're walking with the Word that is spoken of your life, you're walking with Him. And you can say, Lord, I know that you're close because I'm walking in your Word. And they may not see it, but you're walking with the Word, and the manifestation will come. Turn to your neighbor and say, get on the other side of the manifestation with your faith. Tribulation causes one to have to build patience according to the Word of God. And says the next thing that patience does is it builds character. It builds the character of Christ in us. What does? Not tribulation, but patience. I got to qualify as I'm coming to a close this before I hit these three engines, because we're going to crank it up. Patience is not passivity. Patience is not being lazy. Patience is not getting on a hammock with an iced tea and not eating God to do it all. Patience is not easy, because patience shows and exposes pride. Pride, it ain't moving fast enough. See, you just let something happen long enough, you find out when you're patient. Yeah, I'm on my last nerve. That's pride. I understand. And you're about ready to blow up, and God wants to deal with that first. Yeah, everything's going haywire, and you don't understand, and you think God's not. He's up on the mountain somewhere, and I just can't get a hold of him. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what. Hello, heaven. Operator. No, he's coming in a different way. He's coming in a different way than you knew from the past. He's coming in a way that's still powerful. It's still his legacy. It's still his heritage. It's still the old roots and the old wells that have been dug. But the Lord wants to show you something different. And so when he does, patience. Turn to your neighbors and say, patience. Patience is a character building. Patience. Why is patience such a wonderful thing? Because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Tribulation tests to see how much fruit you got. How much the Holy Spirit's been working in your praise life, in your home life. Because if some people praise real good, but their home ain't so good. God wants us 24/7. And see, patience invokes peace. It invokes calm assurance. It invokes relentless pursuit, and it gets fully supplied with all things needed. That's scripture. When patience has its perfect work, you will be fully supplied. Somebody said the supply is coming when I let patience have her perfect work. Oh, glory to God. Patience never partners with pride. Rather, it partners with faith, joy, peace. Patience is the power to endure. We in expectancy of only one outcome. Patience has something to do with turning waiting into renewed strength. For they that wait upon the Lord, that is patient expectancy, doing what he told you to do. Even though it doesn't seem like it's working, if you keep doing what he told you to do, it may not look like he's working, but he's still working. Every step you take is helping you pick up to accelerate. God is getting ready to show up. And when he shows up, he's going to shine out. Ooh, glory to God. Somebody says, he's renewing me with strength as eagles. When your patience is strong, you love to get lost in God's presence. When your patience is strong, you love to pursue in prayer. When your patience is strong, oh, I can only pray for 2.5 minutes and then I got to go. That's because you need more patience. You need more to release more of love and worship and the things of your heart. See, because you haven't dealt with your flesh yet. As soon as you start to pray, your flesh gives you a list of what you should be doing. That ain't God. It's just stuff. Say, it's just stuff. You'll get to it later. You need God first. Amen. And so we need patience. Helps us to prepare for the outcome. It doesn't prepare us for right now. Patience. So we're in family in line, and there's some family members that used to not be able to wait in line. If the line was more than 3 people, they'd have to drive another half hour, go to another restaurant. I usually waited upon what is my next appointment. And if I can't enjoy it and I'm going to feel rushed and everything, then maybe I shouldn't. But if I'm patiently waiting, I already know the outcome. And I already know that it's worth the wait. If I know the outcome, I know whether it's worth the wait. Oh, I'm going to hit this again. If I know the outcome, I know whether it's worth the wait. Because if it's worth the wait, I get to gain weight from being fully supplied with all God's going to give me. There'll be a new weight in my step. There'll be a new glory in my movement. There'll be a new, oh yeah. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Because patience is not wasting, it's winning. Patience is not wasting, it's winning. Now I'll go back to my boat experience as I close. So I have some driving experience, but it's with 17-footers, pontoons, things I've told you. So this 21-foot ski boat looks similar. It holds 10 passengers. I've done the 8-passenger. What's two more? I look and there's no awning. It's got, because it's too powerful to have an awning. It'll rip the awning. So what are these bars for? They're for hauling parasailing. They're for power to go through the drag and still go higher. I'm going to say it again. Because a parachute has a lot of drag. You have to have power. And in the drag, it doesn't cause you to go in the water. It causes you to go higher. And so I found out that when my engine was off, I had no control. That I would just, man, I turned the engine off out in the middle to eat me a sandwich. Next thing I know, the boat is turning. The boat is full. I'm out in the middle. By the time I get my sandwich ate, my wife is saying, be careful, there's an island over here. I go, what is the island doing so close? We were out there in the middle. Because when I turned the engine off, I had no control of my positioning. When you turn your engine off and just, you forget where you're at and you look up and you're drifting. And remember, I preached the message. You must stay out of the drift, because the drift is the enemy pushing your boat, pushing you where he wants you to go. And you'll drift right into the driftwood. Careful, over there's a log from the storm. So I had to turn the engine back on. I had to reposition myself and get away from the trash and get away from the island, get away from anything to bump it so I wouldn't have to pay for any bruises to the boat. When the engine's off, I had no control. So I turned the engine on, and I left it in neutral. And in neutral, it still turned by the wind and the waves. I could hear the engine running, but it didn't seem like I was doing much. So I had to push a little bit. It's called just a little forward neutral. It's what the boats would call forward neutral. It is simply that trolley. You're just barely moving. So when I got there, I found out that it's real slow, but I was constantly having to do this. And there was much adjusting and compensating that I had to do, because the wind kept hitting the nose and kept repositioning when I had control of the rudder. But the power I was using was not stronger than the wind against me. I was letting the wind do too much talking and not enough power. When I had all that power, it said I could go 85 miles an hour on this thing. Man, I don't even know how to go 45 on a ski boat. I ain't trying 85. I just want to. So here I go. I start to level it up. Praise the Lord. I had to make sure that my family was sitting down. And I found out the nose started to raise up. Power will start to lift your face up. I'm in the driver's seat. Now, I've never been in any boat that I had to stand up. Because when I stand up, the steering wheel's way down here. So I'm going, trying to see out of the seat. When you exert enough power, you'll have to get up out of your seat. There's a place where God lifts you to and puts you in position. You can't stay in no sit-down church. You can't stay in no sit-down position. You got to get up and let the enemy know you're standing up. You got to get up, stand up, firm up, step up, and tell the enemy you better shut up. Woo, glory to God. So I put a little, all of a sudden, as I put more power in it, I found out that I wasn't having to do as much adjustments. I only had to do little bit adjustments. Pretty soon, when I got up to enough power, Brother Jeff, I could turn it where I wanted to, and the winds and the waves didn't matter. I could hit a little trim. Hallelujah. I got up to enough power. See, some people ain't up enough power to get up on top of the water. But if you exert enough power, there's a thing called trim, and that trim repositions the rudder and the engine so that it lifts you up, because you got to be going fast enough to start gliding across the top. You got to go fast enough in your faith, fast enough in your acceleration of your praise, to get up on top of the waves, on top of the wind. Make your own waves, make your own wind. Hey! High five somebody and say, turn the power up. Accelerate. You got more power than what you're using. So I thought it would be fun. See, as you turn up the three engines, your faith, your anointing, and the glory. See, your faith in Christ Jesus and his word. Say, turn that engine on. Hallelujah. Give it some rev. Then the anointing by the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, throttle it up, throttle it up. And then in the glory, let him throttle up what he wants. Hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, I said, you know what? I think I'm going to just have a little fun. There's not enough boats out here, so I need some waves to go through. I need, in this new power, I need me a good confrontation. So I thought, I had this little thought, I'll just turn and do a circle. And so my family, what'd you do? I turn and I come all the way back. And sure enough, I met the waves I just made. But here's the trouble. There's a lot of people going in circles, and they're using their power to keep revisiting their past. I said, what are you doing? I'm going through. Why? Why are you going back through this? And all of a sudden, the Lord told me, he said, some people are using their power to go in circles, and they just keep reconfronting the same things that they just made, the things and the waves that were just happening. It's time to go into your future. It's time to go forward. It's time to go into new things. It's time to go into new God things. Turn to somebody and say, get out of the circles and go straight with God. When you're on top, you ain't got time for circles. When you're on top, you ain't got time to go scuba diving. When you're on top, you ain't got time. You got to get to a destination. Somebody say, I'm going somewhere with Jesus, and I ain't got time for the mess. I ain't got time for that. I'm accelerating. I'm turning the power on. I'm accelerating in the spirit. I'm accelerating in my prayer. I'm accelerating in my praise. I'm accelerating my love for the word. I'm accelerating before God. I'm using the wind of the spirit to get behind me and blow me faster. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to see a whole, me celebrate a whole lot more. See, I'm turning up the power. I ain't coming in bummed out. I'm not coming in with a sad face. I'm coming in rejoicing. I don't have to wait for prophetess and the praise team to get to the third song. Hallelujah. I'm coming in. The door is already celebrating. But see, but apostle, you don't understand what all I had to been through. No, it's all the things that you went through that you did the right decisions, and God's still going to show up in some things. There's some stuff you should already be rejoicing. You checked off your checklist. You might have had 103, but you got 84 of them done, baby. You ought to be rejoicing when you come in the door. You ain't whipped. This is your victory season. You're going into double, 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 double. Lift your hands up to heaven and say, I'm going to have a new testimony. Something brand new from God. I'm going to bring in glory. I'm going to speak of his goodness. I'm going to speak of your grace, Lord. Your genius. Your goodness, your generosity, your greatness, your glory. I am navigating and praising. The waves are only a reason to glorify God. They can't stop me. 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 Hallelujah. It's my victory season. It's my victory season. It's my victory season. And I'm walking it out. I'm walking it out. I'm walking. Yeah. It's my victory season. It's my victory season. It's my victory season. And I'm walking it out. I'm walking it out. I want you to see your victory. I want you to see some things that God has promised you getting ready to come to pass. He said, I'm going to do it, and he has started doing it already. I'm going to bring prophecies together and manifest them at the same time. I want you to see yourself walking in the manifestation of those promises. The enemy can't stop you when you're walking with him. Let's sing to the Lord. Take your right hand, grab that throttle. This is my victory season. This is my victory season. And I'm powering it up, and I'm powering it up, and I'm powering it up. Season. This is my victory season. Still ain't got it yet. You're just going through the motions. I ain't here to preach just to preach. I'm almost done. But see, I'm going to do what I felt. I want to do what I felt. When I did it, it went like this. And I want you to do that. I want you to feel that in the spirit. When you power up, it brings your nose up. And it brings you forward. Woo. Let's sing it again. And I'm done. This is my victory season.
This is my victory season.
Yes, it is. One more time. This is my victory season.
This is my victory season. This is my victory season.
I'm powering it up. I'm powering it up. I'm powering it up.
I'm powering it up. I'm powering it up. I'm powering it up. I'm powering it up. I'm powering it up.
Why is that important? Because you start to feel the thrust from walk it out to run it out. Walk of faith, run of anointing. Elijah, run of anointing. Glide. That's where you lift off. Where we're at, saints of God, we're not back on our seats. We're throttling this thing up each and every Sunday, every service, every day, and we are going to glide in his glory and see him do new miracles that we've never known before. signs, new wonders, more souls saved, more people be delivered than ever before. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. I hope this word blessed your life. I've been looking around to see if you had a prophetic word. It's not there. Right now it's not there for her. But tonight, we got a guest minister in the house, dear friend of ours. Pastor Tommy Hill is going to be in the house, and it's going to be his first time preaching here. He's been faithful. He and his wife come into fire and glory, have us minister up there. It's going to be great tonight. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I can't wait for your new testimony. I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to praise God with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.